You're so bold. You put some sparkling water onto like a $700 audio device.
Dude, the audio device is so scratched and beat up. I think it'll just fit it.
Yeah. Dude. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Friends, we have another guest today, our dear friend, Justin Chow. He's been a phenomenal barista, a great friend, and just an overall exceptional human being. Correct me if I'm wrong. We met at a cafe, is that correct?
We did.
Met at Makeworth?
Absolutely.
When you were walking up the stairs, and I was on the the mezzanine or whatever, second floor, is that correct?
Yeah,
I remember. And Sergio was working behind bar, correct?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I brought your drink all the way up those stairs.
Dude, that was true hospitality there. Yeah.
And then so currently right now you work at Narrative?
Yeah. I think when we first met, I wasn't in coffee yet. I was actually in school.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Yeah. I will say, I'm gonna give you some roses right now. You came into coffee much later even than me. And you got a coffee job. You started working at Narrative Bellingham. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're pouring some heat.
Yeah.
Some great latte art. You're picking up on flavor notes. I bugged you a lot for fermenty coffees.
You did.
So I gave you a little bit of a hard time from there. But your growth has been really excellent. Thank you. It's been inspiring. Not to say that you did it yourself. There was some helpful, great coffee managers.
Absolutely.
not to name any names in the room. So
I just want to shout out to Alex.
Alex. Alex. You know, Nate.
So that it's been awesome to see you grow so fast and also really quickly being also challenged by some of the things that, you know, you shared your experiences and you're also now competing.
Yeah.
You're flying somewhere in a couple, is that correct?
Yeah, in 2 days.
Okay, because I overheard something and I'm like, I don't even know if that's what you're doing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Anaheim. It's this competition called Coffee Fest. They do it 4 times a year in different areas within the United States. I believe it's considered an international event, so a lot of people across the world will travel for this competition.
Heck yeah.
And specifically for latte art.
What Coffee Fest is this for you? Competing.
Competing?
Yeah. Latte art. Which one?
Second,
third?
Yeah. It's second. My second. Cool. Earlier this year, I went to New York. And then just going to Anaheim in 2 days. So. Dude,
that's excellent.
Super exciting. Yeah.
Well, before we get into it, you brought a special treat. Guests don't usually do this.
I do, yeah.
But you showed up with a mystery coffee and you're like, listen, I come from a distant land and the people there wanted to pass on some coffee for the pod. So we brewed some batch. Let's take our sniffy sniffs, some tastes, and see what's in here.
Oh man, Nate's gonna be disappointed. I don't think we nailed the grind size.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
What'd you do, Justin? What's on the grind size?
Not gonna lie, I went a little out of your parameters.
Oh, you little.
I did it a little slightly finer. I did
10.8. 10.8. Okay.
Yeah. But.
To be honest, this coffee had a lot on the aromas, on the dry aromas.
Yeah,
it did. There's a little less on the flavor.
Yeah. This coffee, they said it was going to be quite soluble. So.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
You said quite soluble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think definitely like the aromas when we're smelling at first, the dry smells was like very cherry and... fruit,
thoughts of fruit,
definitely.
I mean, you're still getting like the back end, right when you swallow that. There's like this, like pleasant, a lot of fruit on the back end. It just lingers. It's still big and very loud still, even though it's slightly over extracted and kind of goes away somewhat quick.
Definitely.
But it still has like a punch to it. At least that's what I'm picking up. There's still some fruit on there. What are you smiling at?
Do you think it's a wash or a natural?
Oh God, not throwing me under the bus here.
It doesn't taste like a natural, but if I had to guess, it could be like a honey.
It is very clean.
Yeah.
The flavors.
It's like it has a little bit of the fermentation flavor to it, just a very tiny bit.
To be honest, if I had to say, I don't think it's washed. Mm-mm. I think it's if it is a wash, then it's like some kind of extended anaerobic fermentation washed. Mm. And if it's not a washed at all, then I'd say it's just a very, very clean, very controlled natural. Mm. But that's kind of what I'm throwing in on the hat. Yeah. I would be very blown away if this is just like a almost traditional washed.
Yeah.
But it's a little too fruity and intense. For me to assume so, especially I think if you didn't let me taste the aroma, smell the aromas, I might have been a little unsure about that. But the aromas were very intense.
Yeah,
like very strong. Yeah. So
well, you are correct. It is a natural.
Ooh. It is a natural. Let's go. Come on.
Is this the big reveal? It's from Onyx.
Interesting.
The Costa Rica Geisha. It's pretty tasty. Yeah.
Have you brewed this coffee?
We did once. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience brewing it outside of the pod?
I didn't brew it, but I think, it was Nate brewed it. And yeah, it was great. It was just like super citrus fruity. Got like that pineapple flavor note too, where it's kind of like it tingles a little bit, which is like a really cool experience.
Yeah,
coffee. And it has a nice sweet tartness to it.
Yeah. You know, I'm to be honest, now that I'm drinking it, I actually would not guess that this was a geisha.
Yeah,
I forgot it was a geisha. Geisha. I wouldn't guess, but it makes sense that it's a natural and it's from Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because first off, their all their processing is very advanced, so they're pretty good at what they do. But it also has like, it reminds me of a Costa Rican. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't far off. This isn't like something crazy. So, and it's from coming to you from Onyx Coffee Lab. And what is this? There's some kind of.
It's not an echelon coffee, is it?
Not an echelon coffee. I thought it was for a second. Yeah. But,
wait, it does. No. It is an echelon coffee. Yeah. I thought so because it has password echelon 2023.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I feel bad for not saying good things about it.
To me, it did taste like a honey.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually makes sense.
That's why I was I don't think this is a full natural.
I will say it's very clean for a natural tasting.
It's also not quote unquote boozy. Like it's not like, you know, a lot of the naturals that I'm used to like tasting, especially a lot of the ones that I've had in Indonesia on this last trip were like very boozy, like very big.
Definitely.
Like I'm talking about like, the flavors like very like strawberry jam.
Yeah.
Like this coffee isn't like that. This coffee makes sense that it's a geisha because it's way more delicate in the flavor. And I think that's the cleanliness about it.
Well, thank you for bringing such a treat. I mean, it's been a while since I've had Onyx coffee in general.
Yeah, definitely.
But also such a special gem. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah,
that's great.
Big shout out to Nate for also, giving me a little heads up on the phone call right before, I think when you were heading this way, you gave me a call.
Yeah.
So I was expecting a trick to be played. If Nate was involved, there's going to be something fun happening. Definitely. So.
And thank you, Alex, because this is originally gifted to Alex from a customer.
Mm.
Yeah. And Max is gifted to Alex.
Wow. That's awesome.
The transition. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
What a customer. Wow.
Dude. Yeah.
Sharing the echelon.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to the customer. That's delightful. That being said, Justin.
Yeah.
You traveled to Korea, is that correct?
Yeah, last year.
Last year.
So a little while ago.
Was this about a year ago? Was this in the summer?
Yeah, it was in August.
August.
Yeah,
almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Wild.
Almost a year ago. Yeah.
And so I remember when you came back, you were very excited. There was a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts.
Definitely.
A lot of things to process for you, a lot of really fresh, impactful experiences from what I understood. And honestly, we talk a lot about like the overlap of travel and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're traveling within the States, you're going on a road trip, whether you're, you know, jumping between airports and you have to settle for just some brown juice, whatever it is. But travel and coffee has been so integrated nowadays. Mm-hmm. And now we talked about on a recent episode that sometimes you're actually planning your travels around coffee. And yes, so
absolutely.
Yeah. And so now I just came back from Singapore, which is weird to say that I was in Singapore and he was in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Literally almost I could just see you on the almost as close as we were.
You can take a ferry to Indonesia from Singapore if you have a visa.
Or you could just take a speedboat or something. And we thought, man, why not have Justin come on and let's just talk about some of our experiences with coffee culture out on that side of the world, which is very, very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
It's feels very, very different from like the experiences that we have in the States. And even today, I was sitting doing some work at a cafe in town, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, just made me think, like, coffee has become this like, you go to a coffee shop and it's kind of like your mobile office where you can work at, which is not really the case, not what I experienced, at least in Singapore. And something you also shared that it was a little different. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people do kind of now with social media and stuff, be able to like find all these like cafes and plan their trips. Cause I remember like I would travel to Asia a lot when I was younger, but I wasn't in coffee. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to Korea, I was like, I'm going to make a real intention to like hit all the specialty coffee shops. And so,
do you remember how much you hit?
Man, it was I went to at least like 3 a day, new ones. Like I probably went to at least like 20, 30 in the trip.
That's insane.
That's wild.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy cuz I was like finding cafes that like even just open and like only locals knew. So like when I got there, like the baristas there were like so confused how I'm even there and like just at their shop.
That's wild.
Like there was a shop that just opened like 1 or 2 weeks ago, and then I showed up, and then they're like,
"How do you know about this?"
That's wild. So it was just fun. It was just fun to check out different shops, and there's a lot of shops that have won awards and a lot of like baristas that competed. So it was just like really cool to kind of like check those out too.
Yeah. I remember one of the things when you came back from your trip, you brought back a lot of coffee, but I don't know why I did not connect the dots that you went to so many cafes in general.
Yeah.
Cause that's way more than we talked about when you came back. So that's pretty wild. Insane. I didn't go when I was in Indo, I didn't go to that many shops.
Yeah.
And you know, coffee culture in Indonesia is also very different than Korea, I assume, also different than, you know, Singapore.
For sure.
But you're right. I think one of the things that I noticed, there's like a lot of new cafes that were popping up. Mm-hmm. So one of my buddies was bringing me around to all the cafes, similar like you were said, we were hitting up a new spot. Like we only went to one cafe twice. Mm. The same one, but everywhere we went was like a new shop here and there. So coffee culture expanding a lot in Indonesia.
I think I had a similar experience in Singapore. Yeah. Like I thought through my Instagram searches, my Google searches, I thought I had pretty much like all of them laid out, and I'm like, cool. Like I was hitting almost like 3 or 4 a day. And like my last 2 days, I just asked the barista and he's like, oh, dude, there's still more. There's still more. You're just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
And actually, from a barista's recommendation, I hit one of my probably my favorite cafe.
Definitely.
In Singapore because of their recommendations. Mm. And that's crazy. You know what I mean? The fact that like you think you hit them all and then you ask like some locals and they're like, "Oh, dude, there's spots out there."
You forgot some.
For sure. What do you think what was kind of like a few, maybe one or two iconic experiences for you in coffee culture out there?
Oh man, there's two. One when I went to Seoul, Korea, and then one when I was in Busan. So the one in Seoul, I was like, they're called Momentum Brewers. It was just it was very simple. It was like home, but like very aesthetically just like pleasing. And it was just like very comforting. And I think like the barista was just like super friendly to me. They just really wanted to get to know me. Even like there was a bit of like language barrier. Like they spoke a little English and that just like meant a lot to me. And they like gave me an extra like ice pour over, which is like super great.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. Which is surprising me because I don't really drink ice pourers too much, but it's very common in Korea and just like I'm assuming Asian countries in general, just because how hot it is.
Yeah.
But it was really tasty cup. I like tasted some like mango. It was just like so tasty. It was just so memorable for me.
Dude, exceptional.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time I've had so many times a barista ask me if I wanted an ice pour over or not. Yeah. Like yeah, it was a very nonchalant thing. They're like, "Oh yeah, do you want the ice hot or iced?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even ever get asked that here in the States.
No, we
don't. But it actually also makes sense because, I mean, first off, Singapore was phenomenal and beautiful and great. But even like on a nice, like, it was still hot, but like breezy day, but the humidity is so insane. You're like standing there and you're like sweat trickling down your back. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, an iced filter, I had one and it's kind of refreshing, you know? You're probably not getting like the most, all the little bits and details of like a, you know, the coffee flavor and stuff, but you're still getting a really solid cup and it's really refreshing as well in ice. So I'm assuming some of that, like the climate plays a role in, I think not just also your beverages, but I think climate also plays a role in their architecture, how they build, how their cafes are built out, which I thought was, their cafe builds were phenomenal, just beautiful
for sure.
But it, when I was there, I think it clicked for me where I'm like, oh, actually architecture has a big, like the climate plays a big role, which I know it sounds obvious, like if you're in a hot place you're going to build your houses different than when if you're in the Arctic. It makes sense. But flying back, I came back and I'm like, oh, actually that actually makes sense. And actually some of the stuff that I got to experience there, like there's one place that it was like a cafe that had like one wall, but it was like for half the cafe, and then the rest of the cafe was kind of like outside, like open. Like you're sitting and there's like, you're like on the street, like with the plants on the side of the street, but you're also in the cafe, but then there's no wall. Like I was like, oh, first off, I love this, but this wouldn't happen in Bellingham where, rains for 6 months of the year.
That makes sense though, because like I feel like here in Seattle and the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of cafes with like warm wood colors, just like to make you feel like, because it's like cold outside, so you're when you walk in, you want to like feel that atmosphere of like warmth and
right
that cafe vibe. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
There was an iconic cafe in Indonesia called MVP Coffee that basically like there's so much glass. And it was like, it felt like a loft, like this one level cafe. And you walk in through these glass doors, you have like this beautiful bar laid out on one wall. And then the corner wall of that cafe was all glass overlooking these rice fields and like a few massive, beautiful mosques like out in the distance. And it was like phenomenal, and like you can see the glass kind of goes and then it kind of merges out into this outdoor patio that on the other side of glass was all like, I'm talking about like, I don't know, I don't want to over exaggerate, but probably roughly like 50 feet of just out or more, like just a ton of outdoor patio.
Yeah.
And it was all, like you're saying, it was kind of like integrated. It wasn't like, you know, the wall closes off this and you go outside and sit outside, like in a lot of cafes we've experienced in the States. But this was like so fluid, open at the same time. I absolutely loved it. And it was also like a bit jarring for someone who's like used to coffee in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, it's like, you know, I'm used to the woody environment. Like one of my iconic experiences in coffee here was, I mean, two cafes. And the one that I'm thinking about right now was Woods at Boulevard. We've all been to that Woods, and it has a classic fireplace. And it's so cozy, and you're like sick. Like, yeah, you do want a little, maybe, I don't know, like a, you know, a nutty mocha with oat milk, and you know, sipping on it, and you know, that's the vibe. But yeah, so that kind of paints a picture of how like different and unique and cool the atmosphere was in both.
Yeah, I did notice when I went to Korea that each cafe did have like a specific concept or identity to that cafe, which was really refreshing to see, because at least from my understanding, like I don't see as much of that here in the States. But it felt like, especially in Korea, like that's a big thing of like, oh, this is what we're about and this is kind of what we serve. And it's like kind of like a whole experience when you walk in, because like you kind of know where you kind of get into and kind of like can feel like just everything, you know.
When how would you compare that to like what we have in the States? Like give us some visuals. Like give us something to imagine and think, because I'm like, my mind's going in all kinds of places. Like, how would you compare some of those concepts to like what we have and some of the differences?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for example, like narrative, like, you know, we have like 20 to 25 different coffee like coffee bags that you can buy, and that's pretty rare. Like some cafes only have like two or three options, you know. And so when guests walk in, like they know that like we're serving tons of coffees, we're probably like educated about it, like we get to like kind of serve those different experiences to guests. And that's like something new that most people don't usually get.
Right. Was that very similar, like, in Korea?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, first thing you walk in, especially in specialty coffee in Korea, like, the one of the first pages is just, like, a coffee list for, like, pourers or espresso.
So a lot of different options.
Yeah. And I think, like, it was just a great way for guests to kind of learn and kind of be curious about, like, the nuances of coffees and kind of, like, ask the questions. Because it was, like, showing, like, flavor notes, regions, and like baristas will like kind of suggest that, versus like I know some cafes in the United States don't even show like a list or kind of what coffees they're serving. Yeah. And so like sometimes you don't even know what coffee you're drinking.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No,
no, what I was going to say, what that triggered, the thought that triggered for me was when I was in Chicago on that one trip, one of the things is like you're saying exactly, like they're, I don't remember seeing, I don't want to say it never, but I just don't remember seeing a list of like, these are the coffees that we're serving, you know? So that's not, to my experience, that's not been the overall common experience in coffee in the United States. Am I crazy for saying that? Or
no,
that...
I think that's, now that you guys are saying that, like that makes a lot of sense.
Because we always have to ask, like, what coffee?
Yeah. I had similar experiences in Singapore as well, where you show up and you have like a list of like clearly stated like filtered coffees, and there's usually like a handful of them and a couple espresso options.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think places like, you know, what that come to mind is like Revolver.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, down in California, like I was in Los Angeles, Play Coffee in LA or Kumquat. That was insane, actually. Kumquat had like a fat list of like all these next level roasters, and you're like, who do I choose from? Like, these were all probably be, you know, tasty or great. But speaking of coffee and coffee selection, what did you notice? Were there any like stark differences in terms of the style of roasts, the style of processing coffee, or what, anything along those lines?
I know there was a lot of additive processing, like some places will like do cinnamon added or like coconut, which is...
You mean like co-fermented?
Yeah,
like
co-fermented. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So that was like a very common item to have on the menu. I also saw a lot of geishas in like most cafes I went to, especially coffees shops. Which is really cool to see, because I think like it just means that overall like people value that, and people like kind of get excited about those coffees. And yeah,
I think in Indo I didn't see a single geisha.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't, I think because Indonesia is a different case. Majority of the coffees that I drank in Indonesia were, you know, grown and produced in Indonesia. Really? So cool. They didn't have, once or twice you would see like an Ethiopian or a Colombian, but majority of the offerings were from there. So you saw kind of the same varietals that are commonly grown in Indonesia. Like you'd see a lot of Tipica, Linea, you'd see a lot of those. But I don't think I, you know, maybe I'm wrong again. I don't want to misspeak, but I don't even remember seeing like a Bourbon or anything like of that even sort. It's not to say like a Geisha, Sidra or anything wild, you know.
So I think it's also a good, you know, a little late in the episode, but I think it's a good time to like acknowledge that like these are just our experiences. I mean, for sure, I was there only for 5 days. You were only there for what was it, like two weeks?
Yeah, 1 to 2 weeks. Yeah,
1 to 2 weeks. Yeah. You were only there for also like a week. So these are just experiences that we've had interacting with these cafes. Of course, we visited a lot of cafes, but that doesn't mean that, you know, envelops everything.
Right.
But that being said, though, about coffee, it was very interesting for me to experience coffee in Singapore, where you see the classic names like Pepe Jejon, the Lassos, you see some Diego Bermudez, and it's like almost, it's just interesting, you know. Going back to like what we said about like these iconic producers that are actually like famous, not just here in the States, where you walk in and you see a Diego coffee and you're like, ah, okay. That feels natural, or legend. I'm familiar with them, you know, like it's gonna be fire probably. And so that was very interesting. It's also kind of cool, you know, that coffee has become a thing where we can point out a producer on a menu, go to a whole different country with a completely different, you know, coffee culture, and then pick up that same producer roasted by a different roaster and enjoy their coffee there. I think that's insane.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say one of the cool things is because we've experienced such a diverse climate of coffees. I mean, I think it's very inspirational. I remember when you came back from Korea, the things that you were sharing with me, I could feel the passion that you were like, man, there's so much intentionality, there's so much education, like you were. Siri. Yeah, she doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Of course AI wouldn't. No, but you were really like, you were so passionate and inspired. And I saw that when Mark also came back from Singapore. And I know I felt that coming back from Indonesia. Because these were such personal experiences for us, and we didn't go to like every part of Korea or every part of Singapore, or maybe you did because Singapore is a small country, but I didn't go to every part of Indonesia.
Yeah.
But there was something like deposited in us that we've experienced that really what? He's making fun of me like it's a deposited. But no, there was something like that we came back with that really put us in this place of like, oh, this is different, and this is like very, very cool. Like, what role do we play in like learning that and then bringing that back to the United States? You kept going on about like the main thing that you repeated over and over again was like, I want to create this intimate experience.
Yes.
So share more about that, because I think the things that you told me, I think are going to be very inspirational for folks listening, and even for Mark. I don't know if we talked about this. So share more about that experience.
Yeah. It was just very interesting, because I think when you're being served coffee in the cafes, you kind of take your order and then you just kind of sit down. They give you like a beeper when your order is ready. So it's kind of like they take their time to prepare, and then they present you something. And then you kind of just sit there and just like enjoy and just like kind of like soak everything in, kind of in the atmosphere and the drink, and it's just like you and the drink. And I feel like that's just like an intimate feeling to just like connect with what you're having, and then like also the space. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, here in the cafes here, it's like everyone's always conversating, like having conversations or like talking to each other, which is great. I love that. I think it is like invites just a different like perspective of just like really soaking it up.
Yeah. It's also a different intimacy maybe than that we experience in hospitality, where for us, a lot of the times hospitality is like for example, you know, the classic cliche, you serve someone and then you come back to their table and you're like, hey, would you like anything else? Mm. Like kind of like trying to give more, where, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard from you was the intimate experience with the coffee and the coffee, like the barista who made the coffee, was more or less like almost meditative.
Yeah.
Where you had your space to, like you were saying, like to soak it in, to bring it in, to like experience what's happening in the moment, rather than be like bombarded with like, would you like this? Would you like that? Would you, can I give you more? Is that correct?
Kind of. Yeah, definitely. I guess like for me as a barista, like working behind bar, it's like sometimes it's like efficiency is like really key, or like how to like properly like give drinks out at a certain time. But it felt like when I was there, it was like it didn't feel rushed at all from the barista, or just like they're really just like taking their time and like really just like putting that love into what they're making. And it really shows like through their hospitality, you know?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I think speaking of hospitality, actually, it was very interesting to see more than, this wasn't all cafes, but a lot of cafes, when they would come and bring your filter or your shot of espresso, they'd come by with a small little note card of like the coffee information, and what's like, put down the card, put down, and they, as they're communicating about the coffee, they're telling about the processing, where the coffee is coming from, all this information, what I should be expecting on the taste. There was multiple times where I'm sitting there and I'm like, honestly, I feel like I'm in like USB-C, and this is a competitor like presenting something beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was really just kind of like thrown off guard, not like, not in a bad way, but just like, I don't know if I've ever experienced this before. And it felt very special. It felt very like, I don't know. I'm always looking for like a premium, like next level experience in coffee.
Yeah.
Not only both, how does Mir provide that through, you know, the internet roasting coffee, since we don't have a storefront, but also like, you know, when or if we do, what would that look like? And to me, that felt very like, dang, like this cup is like this, whatever is in here has value. Like this is something really powerful, you know, truly like it was very just like a very iconic feeling. And I was like, I kind of wish I got to experience that a little more, you know, here in the States at least.
Yeah. Dude, I love it when you say the word powerful. it's just so iconic to me.
Dude, I was just like, dude, I don't know any words. I have to use powerful. There's no other words to explain it. It's that good.
Yes. Pow. Is that my next tattoo? It's just like pow. Like POW, and like, because I already have like that spark on the thing.
That's too cliche. A lot of people have the POW tattoo.
Really?
Right?
I guess so.
I guess so.
It would fit, dude.
So my tattoo artist is the one with no tattoos.
No, totally. I mean, okay, Mark, can I dig into that a little bit? Because sure. I don't want to put you on the spot, and you back me up on this. Okay, please. Okay. Please back me up on this. You have had the most expensive cup of coffee in the world.
That is true. You have.
So, like,
that's so weird to say. It feels, but it's true, yeah.
So, like, what, oh my gosh, that experience compared
why
to
do
what
I
you,
feel this way?
That experience compared to the experience you had at like Home Ground and those other experiences in Singapore, how different and how what's the experience there? Share about that.
You mean compared to the world's most expensive coffee or what?
No, yeah. Well, no. The reason I'm saying that is because you said like it felt like you were basically at USBC being presented from a competitor. Mm-hmm. Was that very similar to experiencing the world's most expensive coffee?
Okay.
Or, you know, along those lines?
I think very... I mean, it's like it definitely a different feeling when you know, like, dang, this cup of coffee costs $150 and it was $2,000 a pound, and there's only like 20 pounds of this.
You paid for it, yeah. You got the last one.
Yeah. I was literally the last one in the country.
Yeah.
Like there's a unique experience that comes with that. But I will say it had the same level of care and honor for the cup. Mm-hmm. When I was at Proud Mary. Yeah, it was great. I had somebody literally brew it in front of me, share a little bit about the coffee, what I should be expecting and stuff like that, which was very excellent. But I think what's even more iconic is the fact that it wasn't the $2,000 a pound coffee, but it was treated and served and delivered almost as if it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that actually holds even a richer value, because it's, of course, all of us would go nuts over, you know, serving a $150 pour over. I mean, come on. Yeah. But when you can serve like an Ethiopia washed, or, you know, like a delicious Colombian, and be like, please enjoy this, here's what you should be experiencing. Mm. And I'd say that it's mediocre. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's not $150 a cup, excellent, right. You know, yeah. But you're still like, there's like this heart and this passion that gets like transferred into this cup and served to you like it is something special. And I think that should be the case. Mm. Like, this is the coffee that literally went from somewhere out in the mountains of, you know, either Huehue or Colombia, Tolima, or, you know, in Ethiopia and Sadama somewhere. It's gone through processing, you know, harvesting, shipping, roasting, cupping, all this stuff just for you to have it. Mm. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it is something special, but I got, yeah, so. Yeah.
Definitely.
Whoa, easy.
I'm just getting excited over just here. Like,
here's the thing that I want to know.
What? I'm nervous.
No, don't be nervous at all. Thinking, if you had to go on a coffee trip today, Mr. Beast style, all expense, like if I was Mr. Beast and I came up to you right now and said, hey, I want you to go bring me back a cup of coffee from X country. Go. Where would you go?
Like, for the coffee bean? Or like...
A cup of coffee. Like, the classic. Like, do y'all know the Mr. Beast video where he tells someone to go to France to bring him back a baguette?
Yeah,
that like, was great. That style of it. Like, that style. Like, you have to go. I'm going to send you on an airplane right now to go get me a brewed cup of coffee. You have to come back. It might be cold. Yeah, exactly. Where are you going?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question. What are you trying to do to me right now?
I'm putting you on the spot. I mean, this is like...
Oh, man.
Would you go back to Korea?
Well, I probably would. I think that's because, like, that's my experience, especially coffee in Asia.
That's excellent.
Like, one place I do want to go would be, like, Taiwan. I've heard they have great scene and culture over there. But in Busan, I'd probably grab you a cup of the, I think it was Azarazul.
Yeah.
It was just like passion fruit. It was just excellent. And
is it geisha?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. And it was just like a fruit bomb with passion fruit. And if I could have it again, it would be so good. Yeah. Yeah. It was probably my second favorite out of the whole trip.
Wow. Sick. So,
yeah.
Second favorite.
Yeah.
What are you keeping
top two? The first one I said, the Memento.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Those were right. Just right. Top tier experiences for me. Fair. And yeah.
Cool. Okay. I'll take it.
I think as we wrap up here, I'm curious, What is maybe one or two things? Because I think also the overlap of different cultures, like makes an impact.
For sure.
Like for example, like my experience in Singapore, I love that. I didn't see very much American food. Well, obviously, but that's what I really enjoyed. Like the food was delicious. It was foreign to me. It was exciting to try. And where I'm getting at is like, I think there's something great when we can go somewhere, experience it, and bring some inspiration and something back from what we experienced there and bring it back to the States. So my question, I'm really dying to actually know. Mm. I've been thinking about this since the beginning of the podcast. What's one or two things that you'd want to take from the scene in Korea and bring it back here for people to experience?
That's a good question. Maybe for like the behind the bar barista, just like being able to create more invitation to just like conversate with guests. I think that's super important. And
yeah,
like no matter how expensive a coffee is or how great of coffee is, like I think there's always something to connect through coffee, and just sharing a simple moment with guests is like, I feel like creates that experience. And like, no matter if the coffee is just bonkers and like I think that connection is just like what makes it so great. And so like I just hope that people remember that, and especially when we serve guests behind the bars, is like yeah, just be intentional. And yeah
I would say that also speaks a lot about who you are as a person and as a barista, because working with you, and I've had the pleasure of doing that, I remember the times when if you had the opportunity, you would go sit down with Maria and just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's really like who you are as a person, and I think that translates a lot into your profession as a coffee professional, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what I've seen you pick up in Korea, what you've noticed there is really what is like in your heart to do and to give here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I'm 100% like, I see that. And that's like totally the connection is there, dude. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you. That means a lot. What question for you both?
Ooh, spicy.
What would you bring back from Indonesia and Singapore?
Yeah.
Because you both, you know, raved about your experiences. Mm-hmm. I want to know.
You know, and I don't know if this is something like that's possible to bring back from Indonesia, but for me, the most inspiring thing was the fact that a lot of the cafes were using local Indonesian coffee.
Oh,
okay. And I think that's, again, going back to like we've talked a lot about, you know, sustainability and the longevity of making sure that coffee is available, like all of those things. I love how much the local community in Indonesia knows about their own coffee that they've grown. And a lot of the cafes that I went to, there's one specific like Bonjour Coffee that Taylor talked about, that I've talked about, where the local barista and owner, I believe, would source coffee from like the neighboring villages. Oh. And then like serve those coffees. And to me, that's like, I don't think we can bring that back to the United States, maybe with like coffees from Hawaii or the stuff that we're hearing in like California, but it's probably not as good as the stuff that I experienced in Indonesia. Mm. So that dynamic to me is like super inspiring to see the supply chain like so tight and condensed and so like just awesome. Like, you know, I love every bit about that. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't answer your question, but that's the best I've got. That was the most inspiring thing for me.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was a legit farm to cup experience.
Legit.
Yeah.
It's like down the street.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Surreal moment.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I think I would love to say the architecture. Like, I love the cafe builds there. So beautiful. It's just like, it's such a vibe, and it's incredible. It's just, just stunning, stunning. But outside of that, I think back to a little bit of what I mentioned earlier was that I wish there was a little more of that. I guess I really enjoyed like being brought a cup of coffee and being shared with what I was supposed to experience in the cup. And I know it's a very minor thing. It's a very small thing, but I think to me was like a very, very excellent experience, that I wish we could bring back and experience here. So
yeah, that's good.
I'm going to have to ask Trey to do that now. Like, Trey, Mark is here. Hurry up. Get the card out.
It's just like scribbles on a piece of paper.
Where are those Manhattan cards?
Yeah. Okay. Dude, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, folks, I think that's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Justin. Sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
Man,
thanks
for having me. Come true, dude. Long time listener, first time guest.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I've been to the days where I've been in the roastery.
Oh yeah. You're one of the few.
Are one of the few. There's not many people who have laid eyes on the space on the being the mean roaster. Yeah,
I know all the secrets.
He knows the whiteboard. Where he used to leave Mark little notes.
Absolutely. I'll give you some love notes.
That's the kind of customer service I'm talking about. You know, my barista show up to my roastery and write notes for me.
You gotta serve the roasters, you know?
That's right. Oh, man. You literally had, I mean, Justin literally has had coffee roaster warm up sessions, literally, like in the roaster. It's warming up, and we were chatting about bag design. We chatted so many times about bag design in the cafe.
We did.
Literal sessions. So. That's now incredible. You're giving it to the guests. Look at that hospitality.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I'm so excited for y'all of what you're going to accomplish and what you're going to share. So,
thanks, dude. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
That being said, little side note, speaking of roasting, we may have a new coffee drop this weekend, depending on a few things. So if you're still listening, go check out the new coffees. They're dropping tomorrow, not today. I think they'll drop on Sunday or Monday.
Sick.
Not sure. But Justin, thank you one last time for jumping on the pod, for being such a great friend, great barista. We appreciate you very much so. And we need to steal you from narrative.
JK.
just kidding. Alex, you did not hear that. Anyways, folks, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Up Sessions podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this little travel tour across a few Asian countries and talking about the coffee culture there. Friends, drop some comments down below. Give us a few stars if you enjoyed this podcast. And as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.
Yes.